It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 383, entitled Blame Nathan Subscription Service. It was recorded on Monday, the 10th of August, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three fabulous guests. I am joined by Rhys Wynn, by Mark Benzacane, and by Bod Kraus. It's a WordPress podcast, so we do get into WordPressy things, but before we get into that, Rhys brings a few articles to the table, and then on the WordPress side of things, we talk about security. There was quite a lot of security news this week, not necessarily around particular security incidents, but more about the posture that we need to take in terms of security, especially in the advent of AI and Protect the Shire. We also talk about accessibility and the documentation that's been put together all in one handy place. There's a field guide for WordPress 7.1. I did a bunch of podcast episodes. I have a new Moan at Nathan subscription service. And we also talk about community in terms of events and the WordPress credit program and a whole lot more. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. Just before I go, to mention that this show will not be produced for the next 3 weeks. There's some UK public holidays, and I'm going to be at WordCamp US. So if you're there and you want to hang out, why not message me? Okay, on with the show. Well, praise be. That's the first time in weeks that this platform has actually worked correctly at the beginning. So that's it. We're done. See you for the no. But I feel very happy about that. That's pretty remarkable. So welcome. It's episode number 383 of This Week in WordPress. As you can see, I've got a lovely panel of people surrounding me. Some of us have got hats, and one of us does not.
I don't see that.
One of these things is not like the other.
That's right. He's got a really fine beard instead. And none of us.
So, it's hot enough.
He's making up for it. Yeah, it's hot enough. So we're going to talk about WordPress in a little moment, but just a few bits of housekeeping before we get the show properly underway. If you're joining us, the usual place that I send people is to this page right here, wpbuilds.com/live. If you go over there, there's YouTube comments, so you can comment if you've got. Yeah, thank you, Rhys. Rhys is sporting the comment beautifully. If you go there and you're logged into a Google account, then you can comment in the YouTube system on the right. But if you don't want to be logged into Google, there's a button inside the actual video player called live chat, and you can use that. Most people don't. Most people seem to use YouTube comments, but it's there if you want to use it. And if you want to drive your friends, relations, pets, whatever, towards that URL, we would really appreciate it. It is, of course, the guests that make the show work, but equally, it's the commenters that make the show exceptional. So if you fancy giving us a comment, we would really, really appreciate that. Just a quick note, and that is this will be the last show for, I'm not doing the next 3 weeks after this because I can't be bothered. No, because I'm going to WordCamp US, and then it's what we call in the UK a bank holiday. And a bank holiday is an excuse for everybody else to take the day off as well. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. We will take the day off. So anyway, it'll be like a whole 3 weeks. So basically this time next month will be the first time that I'll be back. If you are heading to WordCamp US and you want to hang out, let me know. You know, drop us a comment, or probably the easiest way to get in touch with me is x@WPBuilds. Might be nice to hang out. I'm doing a bunch of interviews and things, so would be nice to see you there. Right. Okay. Let's get to the panel, first of all. So joining us once again at like stupid o'clock in the morning is Mark Benzacane. How are you doing, Mark?
I am doing fantastic.
Oh, I love it.
and there's a story behind the hat.
You can't just drop that and then not give us the story.
So 3 weeks ago, I took a friend down to San Francisco and we walked for about 13 miles in the sun. And for those of you who know me, you know that I have no hair up there. Well, now I have no skin up there.
Oh, no.
But, oh, no.
But not to like learn from my own mistakes. I went to Santa Cruz this weekend and pulled the exact same stupid thing.
Oh, jeez.
So I look like... anyway, there's a reason for the hat.
Okay, there's a lobster under there somewhere. Yeah.
Well, it's not the lobster part. It's the I look like I'm dying part.
Okay,
it's
literally.
It's all just like, right.
No.
If I have any more layers of skin, you're just
a horrible soul. You're going to
see brains and skull. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm absolutely loving it. Well, thank you for joining us anyway. So we can add that to the bio in the future. Yeah. But for now... this is Mark's bio. Mark is the partnerships manager at MainWP, working with plugin developers and WordPress companies to explore integrations with the MainWP dashboard. If your customers manage your products across multiple websites, there may be a way to bring that functionality into MainWP and manage it all from one place. Talk to Mark, and he'll show you how easy it is to get it done. Nicely done. Thank you so much. Cheers, Mark.
Thank you.
And moving around, let's go clockwise. I think it's clockwise. The other clockwise, Nathan. it's Bud. How are you doing, Bud?
Hello, Nathan. Hello, everybody.
Bud always messages me before this show
to sort of
explain how bad it's about to be. And
I have a very bad history here, as you well know.
It's
always something.
Tech always fails for Bud.
I have like this mental block about the show.
Everything's working out all right. Bud's provided us with the shortest bio of today. So here we go. It's very short. Bud is a WordPress content creative and the host of the fabulously popular podcast. Seriously, Bud?
Mm-hmm.
Mark at the end. Is it going like all guns blazing? Obviously,
here's something that's kind of interesting. I'll make it quick. I took a couple weeks off because of going to WordCamp Europe, and the numbers went down. And, you know, podcast listening is habit forming. And if you start breaking people's habits, you know, they'll go somewhere else. Yeah. So bringing that back is sort of what I've been doing.
Oh, okay.
But it's good. I mean, there's no shortage of people who come on the show or want to come on or I get them on. So
I think one of the things that people talk about behind your back is that what they really like is that it's real conversations about, you know, it can just go off on a random tangent and you allow that, don't you? Because that's the point.
Well, exactly. I try to pull people away from talking about WordPress and into their personal stories.
Yeah, exactly. Go and check that out. I will put links into the show notes for anything that we mentioned in today's show. So there you go. But thank you for joining us. So far,
thank you for having me.
Technical gremlins. This is as good as it's ever gone. So let's see how it goes. And then finally, we're joined by Reese. Reese Wynn.
Hey, how's it going? I'm good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm good too. I'll read Reese's bio. Reese Wynn is a freelance WordPress developer based in the northwest of England. He has been working with WordPress for 20 plus years and feels every single day of it when he wakes up. Reese is also one of the co-organizers of the Manchester WordPress user group, and his day-to-day work focuses on custom development, performance optimization, and whatever else his clients throw at him. Away from WordPress, he likes to play cricket badly. Do you like to play cricket badly, or do you just play cricket badly?
I just play cricket badly. I wish I was better. Yeah. I wish I was better.
I enjoy it when I play badly. Yeah. He also makes some... I see your tweets about this. He makes and plays video games and is slowly accumulating park run venues, emphasis on slowly. Reese is professionally at unpronounceable.com and everything else is at reese.wales. Unpronounceable.com is spelled like this: dwinrhys.com. Only the Welsh could put that collection of letters.
Reese. Yes, I have to. I think on the logo on the business card, there's like a pronunciation guide. Unfortunately, you have to get there first before you actually know it. But
if you've ever been to Wales, I don't know if Bod or Mark, you have the really? Signage throughout Wales is in both Welsh and English, and typically the English word is like, I don't know, 8 characters long, and the Welsh version's like 18.
I kind of felt Ireland was a little bit like that.
And it's some parts of Scotland as well. They have it in Gaelic, in Scots as well, which I discovered last week. But I mean, I mean, it's my party. I mean, one of my party tricks is I can pronounce Slam Apple Queen of Gauk and Domi Fancilioga Gagok.
That is a party trick. It's the longest word that we have.
Which I feel like I've done on the show already before.
No.
Okay.
No, what does it mean?
It's a town.
It's a town.
It's a town.
It's got the longest name of any town on earth, and it's in Wales. And they've second got longest. Like, this railway. It's what?
It's the second longest.
Song. Oh, is it somebody made? No, they have like, deliberately got one longer.
Yeah.
So do they do everything on like number 14 envelopes so that you can just like, you know, get the name in?
Yeah. You can get the photos of the railway station, and they've got the name of the sign, and it stretches like the entire platform. It's really good. And it was made up. Somebody made it up deliberately. If my apocryphal knowledge is true, somebody made it up deliberately just so that it would be long.
Yeah, the 30-second explanation was when Isambard, King of Brunel, was building the railway between London to Holyhead so that they could get the ferries across to Ireland. One of the ways in which they made money was like a competition where if you live on a stretch, your village can have a station. But you need to come up with a reason, and you need to pay us to build the station and also to pay for it.
Right.
The thing that won was the village of Slam Apoch, which is the original name from the 1900s, twinned with the village of Slam Apoch. And that's what the name means.
Okay.
Like, basically, So they twinned, entered, and won. Hence the name of the station.
Well, there you go. Yeah, don't ever tell me you tune into this podcast and don't learn things, because you do.
Yeah.
And you just learned that.
Yeah.
And so have I. And I love the fact that this podcast also goes off the rails, as it just has.
literally and figure. So does that mean that we get a railway station too? Because
No.
All right.
No, sorry. So ostensibly you're all here to chat about WordPress. We'll get onto that in a moment. Just a few quick comments. We've got Web Squadron. So Imran's joining us. Hello.
Says
Ty Bod. That's nice. He also says, I'm eagerly waiting for the WordPress day for AI in Faro. Tickets to go live. Oh, yeah, that's coming up, isn't it? Yeah, we mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. That's right. And then Jack Ganjendra Singh says, hi from India. Hello, nice to have you with us. Elliot Richmond's joining us. He says hi to all of us. And Mark replied. So keep the comments coming if you've got any. And if you want the conversation to go in a particular direction, let us know in the comments. That would be nice. Right. Let's put some stuff on the screen. Here we go. Very quick bit of promotional stuff from me. Put your email address into that box there on wpbuilds.com, and we'll subscribe you to our email list, and we'll send you two emails a week. One, when this podcast gets wrapped up. We're obviously doing it live, but I strip out the audio, put that out as a podcast episode, and that comes out tomorrow morning with all the links that we mention, plus about 40 more. There's absolutely loads, and I put it all into a newsletter, and that'll come out tomorrow morning. Plus, we do the podcast that we regularly do on a Thursday as well, and the most recent one is this one, where I chatted to Niels Arts all about something called Clonable, which you can find out a little bit about. I've got a bit of a plug, actually, if you don't mind, that's got nothing to do with WordPress, but I'm about with a good friend of mine in the WordPress community called Dan, maybe. there's a whole thing there. We're about to launch a podcast app. And if you if you're into making podcasts, or you feel that you like to make podcasts, then just reach out to me on Twitter or something, and I'll put you on our little list. Honestly, it's built, it's ready to go. We're just sort of ironing out the problems. There's a few little bugs here and there, and a few little features that we want to tweak. And it's like end-to-end management of your podcast, basically. So if you fancy getting the intel on that, let us know. At wpbuilds.com on the Twitters. Or if you go to the most recent episode, like you can see here, this purple bit at the top, if you click this find out more link, you'll actually be taken to my personal website where you can fill it in. It's nathanwrigley.com/podcast-app-interest. And a bunch of you did that last week when I mentioned it, so I thought I'd mention it again. Okay. Right, that's that. One thing that we do every week is we offer up slots for the guests to bring their own little stories, you know, something that they found curious during the week. And Reese has plunked a couple in this week. So first one is on MSN. I didn't know that was still a thing, but there it is. MSN.com. It's called What Came Into Force with the EU's AI Act this week and What Didn't. The truth is, I don't know. So, Reese, over to you. Tell us what's going on.
Well, basically, this is probably the first article I found on it that kind of gave a bit of an overview of it. August the 2nd, the AI, Europe's Artificial Intelligence Act came into force. This is probably the second or maybe third big thing that the EU has done in terms of a Europe-wide, we are focusing on this, and this is why you need, you know, this is why you need to kind of take a view of it. The previous one was GDPR, which has become a big thing for, even if you're not in the EU, the UK Act is pretty much whatever GDP is, we follow it. And even in America, in certain places like California, they do this. So even if you're not in the EU, you should probably look into what this does and where they expect it to go. Because from my previous experience of dealing with GDPR, and there was a few surrounding VAT, which were not as big. It starts off as like this is going to be the idea. This is where the goal is. There are tweaks on how it works. And then eventually you come to like some sort of general adoption as to how it, you know, as to it working. The things to be aware of is that, like GDPR, the fines are massive. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you will be fined it, but if they find that you breach it, 15 million euros or 3% of global annual turnover is the potential fine that you can receive. That doesn't necessarily mean you will.
Yeah.
I believe even with GDPR, I think there's only been one company that has actually been fined from my experience, from what I remember. I could be wrong. But yeah, it can be big. What the Act is saying is anybody who has any sorts of generative AI, you need to specify when it's shared that it is generative AI.
Yeah.
In ways that cannot be misconstrued as being hidden, you need to tell people. Like that, yeah. There is a lot of other things, but that's probably the one that kind of got the most coverage.
I suppose here, the sort of sentence that sort of sums it all up, it says here, while the GDPR governs how organizations collect and use personal data, the AI Act regulates how AI systems are developed and deployed. So the word there for most of us lot will be deployed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're using AI, it feels like the noose is tightening a little bit, doesn't it? It feels like there hasn't been a noose at all. And now maybe there needs to be some declaration of, an AI wrote all of this, or we had a bit of help with the AI, you know, coming up with some ideas over here. I'm all for this, actually. I mean, I can see how it, you know, it might mean that you've got extra work to do, but from a publishing point of view, I genuinely do want to know if an AI wrote it. And I have an inclination that if I know that an AI wrote basically everything, I probably won't read it. So I'll kind of smuggle in my opinion about whether, you know, a website should be popular based upon that. You know, I'm hoping that humans survive the journalism apocalypse.
Does this apply to all kinds of content? I'm assuming video, audio, anything.
I would have thought so.
Yes, Eddie. Yeah. It does actually say at some point, I was looking at it and I can't find it. It does say providers of AI systems that generate or manipulate images, audio, video, or text must ensure that a synthetic principles to machine readable marking.
I'm kind of curious. Like, take that another step, though. So, for instance, we're discovering, and when I say we, I mean my girlfriend Gina, she's discovering that a lot of the music that she's suddenly liking on Spotify is AI generated. Yeah, and yeah, all of a sudden, she, and then of course, she instantly says, well, I don't like it anymore, of course, right, like we all sure tend to do. But mm-hmm, the question is, then who's liable? Is it Spotify or is it?
That's, I mean, that's a very good question. I think, yeah, I think potentially it would probably be the tool. I think it potentially would be Spotify. Like I
that's what I would think too. Yeah.
So I imagine though Spotify would have a get out of jail free card, wouldn't they? In that they would say to every author or, you know, creator of music, did you generate this with AI? And we will pass that information on in some way in our UI. You know, there'll be a little item or something.
I don't believe they're doing that right now.
No.
Coincidentally, I was just looking into it this weekend.
Yeah. I think it's coming though. I think that kind of thing is coming. I share like your girlfriend there, Mark. There is some curious switch that gets flicked. If I'm listening to something and I suddenly learn it's AI, I have a different opinion on it instantly.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I should be enjoying it for what it is. But I curiously am not. There's an aversion I have to it, which doesn't really bear scrutiny. It shouldn't be that. I should enjoy it because it's enjoyable. But
I think it has to do with the fact that we all crave that human connection. And the minute we discover that something is not human, we don't have the connection.
Okay, so that's interesting, isn't it? If something is masquerading as human, that's offensive. But if this legislation makes it never able to actually masquerade because it's got to wear a badge saying I was made with AI, then maybe you wouldn't feel quite so annoyed because you wouldn't feel duped by it.
Well, it takes our choice away.
Right.
See, we don't have the choice. If we don't know that it's AI, we don't have the choice of appreciating the humanity behind it.
Yeah.
Because they've taken that out. They take that out of the equation. So it's, you know, it's forced ignorance, I think.
Yeah. People it's curious, like isn't it?
Yeah.
We're in a brave new world. We got a comment here from Imran Web Squadron. Oh, that's not supposed to happen. Let me just change the settings in here. How do I do that? One second. Sorry. Make it so that they shift. There we go. That's how to do it. He says, I wonder if it means that we have to mention it in our YouTube descriptions, as you could use YouTube suggestions or other AI to help create partially 100% of your thumbnail art. So curiously, Imran, in the this isn't being compelled on anybody, but in the podcasting space, because you have control of your RSS feed as opposed to Google owning the, you know, it all end to end, there's a disclosure that you can put in your RSS feed, and it's one of these new podcasting 2.0 tags, so you can say AI was used wholly, partially, not at all, and you can declare it, and then a podcasting app can surface that in whatever way they wish through their own UI, and so podcasting has built that in. You know, Google will do whatever the heck it wants. And I imagine it'll play down a lot of this because it's in, you know, Google have got a heck of an AI product to promote, haven't they? So anyway, there we go. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Rhys. That was great. Okay. So we'll move on to the next one, which is also yours. And it's on the repository. We feature the repository a lot. We were saying just before we hit the record button how brilliant it is.
Yeah.
If you go to the repository.email, like six or seven times a week, she bangs out brilliant journalism, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So very quickly, WordPress 7.0.3 was released last week, last Thursday, I believe it came out. Make sure you sign up today because, again, this is another security update that needs to be put up. It's not as bad, given previous one, the 7.0.2, which was huge, which was, again, I think only a week before that. So it seems to be happening quite a lot more often. Update your WordPress.
But also look at this chart. So the headline here is WordPress 7.0.3 patches 12 vulnerabilities as bug bounty reports climb to 450 a month. I think this is the new landscape, right? Isn't it, for software developers, is that you are going to be deluged with some completely legitimate bugs, but also some like really curiously difficult to pull off bogs, which are still bogs nevertheless, but rely on, like, I don't know, you've got to be patting your tummy whilst eating rice at the same time as pressing the control key and, you know, all of that. But here we go. Look at that chart. So yeah. This is the things that have been going through the bug bounty program. And you can basically see prior to, let's say, the end of 2025, the line was straight, for want of a better word. It sort of hovers at the same point, about somewhere between, let's say, 20 and 30 reports a month. And then since the beginning of this year, it shot up 145, probably around January time, 185 or 65 around April, something like that. And now 450.
Yes.
And I presume that this is just going to keep going.
Yeah. And they say that one of the reasons, the article in particular, which is good, is one of the reasons is that OpenAI discovered the 7.0.2 bug, the vulnerability that was huge. And it was like it's not nice that we release this on a Friday, but yeah, you need to jump on this pretty quickly.
Yep.
And a few little groups that I was in referenced it. They got a lot of credit, OpenAI for discovering it.
It's a good attack surface WordPress, though, isn't it? If you think about it, because if you attack Squarespace, then all Squarespace have to do is alter one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then they've shored up that entire problem.
Yeah.
Whereas WordPress, if they discover a thing, you know, there's this, and we'll come to another story in a minute related to this. They've got, they're millions and millions of things have to independently shore themselves up. And so I can see why, you know, there is a target painted on WordPress back here.
But it's also an opportunity for these AI companies to say, right, okay, we're doing good for the world. We discovered this thing using our AI.
Yeah.
Because they, as I said, like, this one was discovered by Anthropic as one of the credits.
Yeah.
So another large language module.
I don't know if you saw, I didn't put them in the show this week, but over the last few weeks, it would appear that quite a lot of these AI, so Facebook, the Meta AI and Anthropics and OpenAI, they've all been up to some level of mischief. Doing, you know, sort of escaping whatever, I'm going to use the word sandbox, which might not be the correct term in this specific case, but they've escaped their sandbox and then unprompted gone out, caused havoc with other people's actual platforms. And then in some cases, apparently, kind of try to hide what they've been up to, which is also curious. And the bit that fascinates me is that I read that now and I'm kind of, there's a bit of me which is going, oh that's just AI being AI. That's, you know, it's whereas in fact, if that was a human being, they'd be in jail.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be trying to put them behind bars for what they did. So anyway, we're going to have, the world is going to be an interesting place. There's a couple of comments which are coming, so let me just quickly read those out. One was about, I would imagine, says Imran again, that YouTube should highlight the use of AI as it knows what you have not said. Sorry, this wasn't Imran, this is Mark. Hello, Mark. Says that they should highlight the use of AI as it knows what you have and have not used. Would it know, though, in the creation of it? If I brought a video that I'd made on my Mac with AI, how would YouTube know that that was made with AI?
My guess is, going back to the previous story, is that there's potentially a solution where if you have an AI video, there will be a tag that will be read in.
Yeah,
Some sort of signature.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
The only thing is that, as we know from image optimization, tags could be removed.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, it's not a foolproof system, but I guess it's
You mean, okay, I'm going to use a complicated word here. You mean like what is it called? Stenography or stenography? Have you heard this word? So it's hiding something in plain sight. And it's the idea that you take a photo, but somewhere in the bottom right-hand corner, you alter the color of 6 pixels, and that is invisible to the human eye. Yeah. But an AI or a computer that knows to look there for those 6 changed pixels, they can see it. And apparently this is how, like, you know, a lot of spies in the sort of 80s and 90s actually got secrets out in things, just ordinary photographs that would be doctored in tiny ways. but they would be detectable if you knew what you were looking for. But anybody at the border looking at the photo would see a photo. Yeah. So are you saying that there's some kind of like hallmark that could be buried into a video at the point of its creation?
Kind of. Like with photos, you've got EXIF data. Yeah. So you have like, this is the image, this is where it was located, this is what the camera was that you took it.
Yeah.
So in theory, there's probably that information already present in
it already.
Yeah. Now, Elliot later on makes the point, going back to the previous thing, I would imagine this is the way in which he's going to work. The EU thing is we're going to start with AI companies going, we're going to include this thing within our data that you are then, when you then upload, it's already included, therefore it's automatically shown.
Right, it's predetermined. Yeah.
And even if you, let's say you go out and, shoot a cricket match or whatever, or it's something obviously not AI, you have to declare that there is a use of AI within the system. If it then turns out that there was AI, but you said there wasn't, then, there's potentially you could be kicked off the platform. That's the way I
expected. And we went off in a totally random direction, completely without cause, because Mark's come back and said, no, that's not what I'm on about. He's talking about YouTube descriptions and thumbnails and things like that. So not the actual video. Sorry, we went off the rails there a little bit. And Elliot Richmond says, it makes you wonder, this is back to the chart WordPress. We showed where the line had, gone hockey stick like. Makes you wonder if AI is being used to create core PRs and if that's why vulnerabilities are creeping in, or if it's just that AI is discovering them, like you say. I don't know the answer to that, but I share your opinion. The question has occurred to me as well, is whether AI is being created to create, to make these core PRs. That is an interesting thought, isn't it? Okay. Anything more on that, or shall we move on? Yeah. By the way, I haven't been on this show since about 2022. I made an avatar of myself. I just wind it up at 2 o'clock on a Monday morning. It goes, and nobody's noticed. Occasionally, there's a glitch, but currently, I'm on the beach having a lovely time. I wish.
Just wear sunscreen.
Yeah. Perfect. The perfect segue. We know you're real now, don't we? Okay, so this leans into it. Some of this is so intriguing, right? It's about the shortest piece that I've seen Matt write in a long time, but it also contains a lot. It's on make.wordpress.org, and it's called Defensive Data Design. And I'll just read the whole thing. Actually, I won't. I'll go about halfway down. As we go into a world where agents will be doing more things, read AI, how can we make the defaults as safe and secure as possible? Some points to consider are, number one, putting something in the trash should be easy. Deleting it should be hard. The idea being, if an AI accidentally deletes something, it shouldn't have the capacity to properly delete it. It just temporarily deletes it. Proposing a draft should be easy. Publishing to the world should be hard. Curious, because we've got the whole democratizing publishing slogan for WordPress, and yet that seems to be in opposition. Well, it's not in opposition to that, but you know what I mean. Changes should be reversible and visible where possible. How can we show the data behind the object in a way that makes it more legible and understandable, not less? Error messages should be how you describe it to a friend and have a copy to clipboard next to it so people can put into search AI, whatever. If you error out, say the why, not what. Mm-hmm. Fail gracefully in a way that minimizes harm or exposure. Assume everything, and he does mean everything, networking formatting structure is not just unreliable, but actually hostile. Gosh, that is a profound statement, isn't it? Use the space you have. Don't make people click when you have shown them something directly. Plain language, make it obvious, natural, and also fun. I am so curious that we live in a world where that manifesto seems reasonable. if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not saying that what Matt's saying is unreasonable. We've now got to the point where that needed to be said. But don't you think it's curious that we've got to the point where we have allowed our systems to take over to such an extent that we now need to build massive distrust in areas where previously the default was trust?
Yeah, because that's the difference between humans and computers. Right. I mean, we can make the judgment at it, and computers, AI meaning, is not really good at making judgment calls yet. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's certainly interesting. I don't know if anybody else has got commentary on that. I mean, maybe it's just one of those ones that we just leave you to ruminate on it.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious what he means by error messages should be how you describe it to a friend, because most people that I know that describe an error message to me say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how they describe it to a friend.
It doesn't work. Yeah. I think he's meaning more than that. Yeah. It doesn't work because you didn't do this or that, and this problem was located in this file. I'm guessing he's talking about verbose, but understandable.
Yeah. It shouldn't be revolutionary, but the notion of a copy to clipboard next to it feels revolutionary, because I don't think that ever exists. Because the first thing I do is whenever I see an error message, I copy it and I stick it into I stick it into a search engine or an AI. Right. And
I guess I
yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That was it. So
yeah. The only thing I'm thinking is, this seems reasonable even before AI, really.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe it's just my intuitions there. Yeah.
A lot of it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this all seems reasonable. I mean, if you're ever managing people, you have to take that into consideration too, because even if you trust them, their judgment is not always necessarily going to be the same as yours. So, you know, and they're still going to accidentally delete things, and they're still going to accidentally, I mean, this is, whether it's on purpose and as expected with AI or by accident because they're human, these are all safeguards that should be put in anyway.
You're right. You are right. I've thought about that some more, and I think you're right. But it's curious that it wasn't the default before. And now we're letting the AI, I'm going to use the word, run amok, which of course is not the right term, but you know what I mean, that we do need to be more explicit about this then. That is just so interesting. For example, the second one, proposing a draft should be easy, but publishing it should be hard. Almost seems like not the WordPress way, but it doesn't mean it's, you know, that we hide the publish button. It just means that, you know, an AI doesn't get the authority to click the publish button and it actually publishes it. There should be, you know, checks and balances going on in the background, I'm imagining. And then, you know, Steve Burge, who's often on this show, he's got a whole plugin, which is all to do with like permissions and workflows and publish press, it's called, you know, like you're an editor, you can do this, and you're somebody else, you can do that. But ultimately, I need to be the one that presses the button. So I think you're right, Mark. I think I've probably misunderstood or not overreacted, but yeah.
I think this is as a response to AI. I mean, he basically says, you know, agents are doing more things, but I don't necessarily see a huge difference here. And the thing about publishing being hard, how many people were annoyed when WordPress put in that second publish, you know, you had to verify that. How many people were annoyed by that? How much harder can you get? You know, are you sure you want to publish this?
Yeah.
You know,
similarly to that point, Mark, it's like the first two points, putting something in trash should be easy. If you hover over it, there's one link that stands out for the rest, and it's the red one that says delete.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. There's one link that stands out from the rest when on the publishing, on the draft page, and that's the big blue button that says publish. It almost feels like WordPress is kind of backwards.
That's right. It should be font size one.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And when your cursor gets near it, it just wanders off somewhere. It's just like you have to chase it around the page.
That's going to be your next plugin. You. There's your next plugin, Nathan.
Yeah, that's right.
You can have Dan maybe do it.
Publish button. That's lovely. Okay. Anyway, there you go. Interesting observation. Put in like just a handful of bullet points about like just maybe the way to view it, the publishing process in the future. Yeah, it's curious that that landed differently for me, but when you explained it like that, Mark, I get it. That makes a lot more sense. Okay. Anybody else on that, or should we crack on? All right, I'll take that as a crack on. Yeah. Right, if I can get this one to load. Let me just go to the top. I'm not going to go through this one because we talked about WordPress 7.1 quite a bit, but just to let you know that the field guide has now been published over on make.wordpress.org. So this was Milana Tsap on the 5th of August. And the field guide is essentially like, you know, your one-stop shop for all of the different places where you can find out how things got to be in 7.1. So all the issues and blog posts and things like that. So there's nothing really to see here apart from the fact that there's an awful lot to see here, if you know what I mean. But if you're a plugin developer or what have you, and you know, you need to figure out edge cases for things, then that is available.
And congratulations for saying her last name correctly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's okay. Mm-hmm. So Bod, I'm sure this is the same for you. One of the questions that I always have to ask before I click record is, how do I say your name?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. And hers for some reason has stuck. There's a few like Mark Spencer Kane that took mm-hmm. about 8 tries. I don't know why.
That's about right. I think that's about right.
Yeah. But
I was saying, in fact, you did it wrong so long that I was thinking about changing my name.
Yeah, well, thank you. Oh, you could have put me out of that pain so much earlier. But yeah, Milana's surname sort of sunk for some reason. So anyway, there you go. Mm-hmm. Righty-ho. Right, moving on then. If you are, well, actually, Anne Mika has just left. She's saying, sorry, got to run. But Anne Mika is in very much sort of in the WordPress accessibility space.
Yes, she is.
And one of the other people is Rianne Rietveld, and published on the 6th of August, 1 year of working on documentation about accessibility for WordPress. Mm. It's a little journey here about how Joe and Rianne sat down at various WordCamps over the last few years and decided that the documentation in the WordPress space around accessibility was just sort of shattered and spread out over too many different places. So they decided to make a place for it to live. And that work has taken many, many months, but is now complete. And it lives right here. It's called wpaccessibility.org, no hyphens or anything like that. And it's the knowledge base for all things. And I'm guessing the intention is to, you know, keep it up to date and what have you. Curiously, this isn't going to be the home for it forever. They are intending, I think, to bring it into GitHub at some point. I could be wrong about that. Yeah, here we go. The accessibility handbook will move to a GitHub repository on the WordPress organization later this year. But for now, it's there. I imagine if you're into accessibility.
Why wouldn't this be in .org? I don't, you know.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I suppose it comes to the GitHub for, I don't know, actually. That's a good question.
It should be.
Not sure. Yeah. Maybe GitHub has a superior editing interface or something, you know, I don't know. anyway, there you go. There you go. Anything on that? Nope. Bueller. Okay, moving on. Right. What a success this is. WordPress credits. We've talked about this many times. So this is the idea that the WordPress Foundation has been reaching out to real-world institutions. And can you imagine how hard this work must be? Go into an actual educational institution saying, we're going to provide free stuff for your students. We're not going to charge you a penny. No, honestly. And then like 8 or 9 letters going backwards and forwards. Like, no, seriously, what's the, like, why, what the heck? And then eventually convincing them and then coming up with a program of study, which they can buy into so that they still have their credibility. Now, it seems to be taking off because just in the last month, they've added 10 new partner institutions in various points in the world. So it also has done this hockey stick thing. So basically, it's having an impact. It's far outstripping, I think, what anybody thought it would do. So there seems to be a real appetite.
Well, do you know Isota Piera from the? Well, if you know her, you would say this has a pretty good chance of succeeding. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm involved in the program. I've been a mentor.
Oh, nice.
And it is really exploding. I mean, it is really gaining momentum.
Yeah.
And they're talking about expanding all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah.
They basically have like two course offerings at this point, but it's going to be so many other different courses.
Yeah. You've got, I think it's the 80 hour option and the 150 hour option or something along those lines.
And like a dev track and a design. Yep. But here's the thing. You can go anywhere with it. They sort of pitch this to try to get people to join the WordPress community and Slack and all that stuff. But I mean, what I've noticed is the students are much more technically oriented than I thought they would be. This is not for, people that just want to learn WordPress to make a blog. This is really a career track, student with WordPress. So I think it's fabulous, really. This thing is just going nuts.
It is, isn't it? And we're so into the weeds of it. I imagine most of us have forgotten how we even fell into this whole WordPress thing. but this is at the point where maybe, students are sort of looking for a career path and kind of thinking, mm-hmm. I'll give WordPress a shot. Let's do a few hours. I'm already at the university. Let's chuck a few hours at this, see if I enjoy it. And I think you're right. The idea is to get people to join the community and thereby become, that are involved. I don't know whether that'll succeed and we'll get long-term committers, but nevertheless.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a way of regenerating the WordPress community because you bring in new people. Yep. I mean, this is definitely one of its goals is to do that.
Yep.
And whether that works long-term, I don't know.
But it's just a whole nother bit of WordPress. And you know what it's like when you have to deal with institutional layers of bureaucracy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This must be pretty brutal stuff. Backwards and forwards and
She's a wizard. Isota is a wizard. Yeah.
Yep. Well done. Anyway, it's gangbusters. 10 in the last month. And I think it was maybe, 5 in the previous year or something like that. I'm making up.
Well, it says there that they wanted to hit 20 by the end of this year and they've already smashed it.
Yeah.
And I think, and also what the article goes on to say is by the end, they then revise the target and go, okay, we've hit 20, let's go for 35 by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've already gone past that.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just because it talks about some of the countries involved. And I can imagine the education system in Bangladesh is completely different to the education system in Japan.
Yeah.
So like learning, dealing with each one of these things independently is going to be a nightmare because most of us who have dealt with institutions have probably only dealt with institutions in a handful of countries and English speaking.
Yeah.
And then they're really busy ramping up the whole infrastructure that's going to need it to support this endeavor because, it's huge.
Totally invisible to most of us who would consider ourselves to be WordPressers. It's all just going on in the background.
Who knows about it, right?
And this
a miracle.
Yeah. So one thing which, again, because I've got the article in front of me, so I'm just quickly scanning it as well. Mm-hmm. One thing they say, two of the July new partnerships grew out of conversations that happened at WordCamp in Krakow.
Huh.
Which was
Like 12 days ago or something.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's phenomenal.
Yeah. It is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Let's have a look, see if there's a comment in there. There are a couple of comments. I don't know why, but they don't seem to be coming through. Maybe they are. Maybe they'll come through. Sometimes the comments in the platform lag the comments out in YouTube and what have you. Yes. And so we've got Elliot. The comment hasn't made it through to our platform, but I can see what Elliot's written. And as I say those words, they appear in the platform. So here we go. Agreed. Bring new and youth into the community. WP Credits is a great initiative. And then Mayank says, I hope they never discontinue this, which could be possible once the audience is rebuilt. I could be wrong. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. So that was a nice bit of community news. Speaking of community news, again, sorry, at the risk of self-promoting, I did a lovely episode with a lady from Costa Rica called Priscilla Calado Ramirez. And I would thoroughly recommend going out and talking about, going out and having a listen. She's a WordPress contributor who kind of never thought that that was going to be her thing, but she's also kind of like into mental health and meditation and things like that. So it's a really interesting conversation that we get into. So go and check that out. And then we'll move back to the repository again. I think this is interesting. So WordPress Playground, for quite a while now, you've been able to create indestructible, that's not the right word, but sites which don't go away the minute you close your browser. Can't remember what terminology they use. And I think the usage of Playground has kind of gone up. I've certainly seen a lot more kind of like plugin houses and things like that using it as a way to demo their plugin. You know, click this link and you get a WordPress install right there and then. But I think the devs working on Playground have decided that now that there's just boatloads of options, it's getting quite hard to remember where anything is or even to surface for people who perhaps haven't used Playground, what's going on. So they're trying out this new UI thing, and it doesn't really look like it, but it's got a feeling of the dock on Mac OS in that it sort of sits in the middle of your screen at the bottom. You can make it go away.
I saw that. Yeah.
I actually quite liked it.
I did see that. Yeah, I couldn't figure out what it was though.
Yeah, but
you're right.
The settings live in there. Yeah. So, you know, you've got like site settings, database files, logs, export, Playground, and yada, yada. And I just thought it was quite a nice UI. And actually, I could see this being useful inside WordPress itself, dare I say it.
Sure.
You know, some sort of command bar, which is kind of like just stuck to the bottom. When I'm using Mac OS, I make the dock disappear when it's not being used. And when I go back to it, it sort of pops up again. You just toggle something in Mac settings. And I think this would be good here. Sorry, Bob, go on.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. I'd like to hear from, what is this doing to businesses like InstaWP and others of its kind? Because, I mean, well, I know that...
One can only assume.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Well, I noticed that InstaWP have got a load of new things going on. I get their email, and they've definitely got some new stuff going on.
Right.
So I can only assume... Well, I mean, it's got to be beating into their core business, hasn't it? I would have thought.
It has to.
But I don't actually know. But anyway, they are looking for testers. If you would like to help them, you can go to this piece on the repository. It's called WordPress Playground Team Calls for Testers as new doc based UI aims to fix feature discoverability. So there you go. Rhys, Mark, anything on that?
No.
No? Okay, great. In which case, I'll move on to this errata. I was poking about on X this morning. You know, like you do, you wake up every morning and you say, no X for you today, Nathan, I'm not going to do it. And then like within 20 minutes, you spent 20 minutes on X. Well, and then I got a message from somebody called Daniel Lopez, or I didn't get a message. That's not true. He just at mentioned me. He said, our friends at WP Builds had the crazy idea to take the latest Windows from OpenStation. By the way, if you don't know what OpenStation is, it's Nick Hamsey's project to make WordPress into like an OS, like to feel like an OS, and to put the Windows into the Mac OS desktop, or Windows, or Unix. Mm-hmm. And it says, we heard you and we're experimenting with it. So, Daniel, sorry for derailing your week in that way, but it's pretty cool. You look at this video, look. Oh, gosh. Do I want to log in? No, I don't want to log in. It's like a little animated GIF. And so he's inside of OpenStation. You've got separate windows for everything. You can see there's a little posts window there. And he's added a little option. He's going to hover over it any minute now. There we go. Open in Mac. Send to Mac. And then it opens that bit of OpenStation in a separate Mac OS window. So he's now got that bit of WordPress inside Mac OS, but only that bit. So, Daniel, it's now Monday. Can we have the entire thing, let's say, by midday Friday, shall we?
Why not?
Why not? Why not, indeed? Anyway, thank you. So, there's one person listening to this podcast. It was Daniel.
Really, my question, Nathan, is will you use it if we discover that he wrote it all in AI?
No, I'm not going near it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'll use it straight away. I don't care. It's not music.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a there, actually. I do think that music and art, there is a separate conversation to be had, isn't there? I think there's something about the structure.
Yes, but code is poetry and poetry is art. Oh, so
okay, I give up at this point. Yeah, I just resign. I give in. I haven't got the sophistry to compete with that. But yeah, anyway, so this to me is a really interesting moment in WordPress where I feel like we've got desktop bits coming and dropping in all sorts of different ways. So by the way, you should go and check out OpenStation, Nick Hamsey's project, whereby a lot of the bits of WordPress are being atomized out into separate windows. It's pretty cool. The minute that drops in a compelling and usable and bug-free mainly way, I'm going to use it forever. That's me. I'm never going to use WordPress in the same way. I'll use a desktop version of it every time because that's the way I do things. Anyway, there you go. Thank you, Daniel. I apologize for derailing your week. Okay, moving on. Plugins directory release process issues. So I don't know. I didn't spot this. Maybe I wasn't updating plugins at some point and I don't make any plugins anyway, so it didn't really matter to me. But the plugins team... This was last, the 5th of August, whenever that was. The plugins team is aware of an issue currently affecting plugin releases and is actively investigating it. Newly released plugin zip files are not being generated as expected. We are aware that some users are experiencing issues accessing SVN. 5 hours, I think it was. Let's have a look.
Yeah.
Yeah, thereabout. No, not 5 hours, more like three, something like that. It's gone. The problem got solved, but presumably people who were uploading their brand new plugins were, updates to plugins, were not able to actually ship them. So anyway, that's storm in a teacup.
Yeah.
Anything on that? No. Imran, if you're still with us, here you go. A little quick plug for Imran. Imran has a very popular YouTube channel. Every time I look at your subscriber count, Imran, it's never the same. It's always like about 8,000 higher every week. What's going on? Success is what's going on. He's now on 190,000 subscribers. Boy, that's impressive stuff. Well done. And he's released a video called Elementor Needed This All Along, and promoting something. I don't know if it's your tool. Possibly not. It's called the All-in-One Toolbox, and it does a load of things if you are an Elementor user. But because Imran has been dropping in and making use of this channel, I thought it was nice to do a bit of quid pro quo. Imran goes under the YouTube title of Web Squadron. So go and Google that, and you can subscribe to his already prodigiously subscribed YouTube channel. By the end of this episode, I want there to be 190.1. Anyway, new video from Imran. Imran, how often do you do this? Like how many a week do you churn out? And do you do it every single week? Do you give yourself a holiday, or are you on the YouTube content production train that you can't get off for the reasons Bud just described about podcasting, where if you miss a week, you're in big trouble and YouTube will stop promoting you? I don't really know how it works over on YouTube, but anyway, there you go. My thing about YouTube though is the sidebar. I get so distracted over here. I don't know if it's the same with you. Doesn't take me long to look. Mine is basically mainly full of archaeology and Bob Mortimer.
I mean, there are worse things to find on YouTube than that. I think that's quite a day one.
Okay, good. Yeah. Does it say a lot about you what's in the sidebar on YouTube? I think it probably does. Show us your YouTube sidebar and we'll decide whether to give you a job or not.
It'll be one of those things you put on dating profiles in about 10 years' time. It'll be a dating app that will say, right, what send a YouTube things that will match him up with somebody.
Okay, so a total aside, born out of nothing, except me just realizing that, you know, that sidebar kind of probably does say a little bit about my viewing habits. Have you ever, and all of you, have you ever done something online which you've totally regretted? And you don't have to go into it, but have you ever done something, either, I don't know, published something or wrote something or was snarky somewhere or something like that? Have you ever done something which you thought...
Yes.
Go on, Mark. Are you willing to talk about it?
Yes.
If you are, what
yes.
was it?
It was actually a really big learning experience for me, and it had to do with the WordPress community, actually. On my Facebook feed, I posted a meme that I thought was funny and was... offensive to a segment of the population as a whole, and somebody called me on it, and I said, well, you're not a member of that population either, so I'm not sure you should be talking to me about this. He pulled me aside at WordCamp US, I think in Philadelphia the first year. He said, I actually am. I just haven't announced it yet.
Okay. Oh.
And I was so grateful to them for doing it as an aside rather than calling me out publicly.
Yeah.
But it did teach me to be more sensitive to things I know nothing about. so, it is something to this day that I go back to and regret, but learned tremendously from it at the same time. So
that's,
I don't regret that part.
Yeah. Okay, so regret mixed with, like, it's Schadenfreude or something like that, isn't it? So the curious thing there, and I never had to deal with it as a kid, I had to grow up with the etiquette of my family and the people that I knew. That was it. That was the if you knew how to behave in those situations, you were 100% covered. I mean, occasionally we'd go somewhere totally random, like on holiday, and you'd encounter other people who had different proclivities and what have you. But my kids have grown up in a world where the entire world's etiquette matters, because at the drop of a hat, you can be impolite in a way that you didn't even realize.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bit of a burden that I'm miss out on.
And the big difference is, I think one of the things that you really notice is the generational thing. So the way that, like, someone of my generation sees thing and like, say, my kids' generation, and unless we have these, I mean, I can get into a whole philosophical discussion about this, but unless we have these conversations with our kids, but at the same time, I hope and I encourage our kids to be graceful in the way, because I probably would have reacted far more defensively if this person had come at me online.
Yeah.
But because they took me aside and said, you know, I know you didn't mean anything by this, because I know what kind of person you are, but... And I told them right then, I said, I really appreciate that you brought this to my attention, and I'm thank you for doing it as an aside, you know, as opposed to, like, publicly. So it also taught me to be more sensitive when I get offended rather than going at somebody publicly.
Pull
them aside and say, look, you may not be aware, and give people the benefit of the doubt, because different generations. I mean, we grew up in a world that saw things differently, and we've had to reprogram ourselves based on society today and learn terms that, you know, that we never even heard of, and just see things differently. And so I appreciate the people who have had the patience with me, including my own children, and taught me a lot. So,
yeah. That's a nice story. That turned out all right, didn't it?
Yeah.
Reese or Bud, have you got any of those stories?
Well, I'll make it brief, which is I wrote, and Mark will understand.
Oh, I know what you're going to say, but I know exactly what you're going to say.
So, and it was mild, but I heard this guy at WordCamp US in 20, I don't know, it was in Tennessee.
16 or 17, yeah.
And he gets up on stage talking about how much weight he lost and how good he feels, and goes on and on and on about this. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what is this guy doing? I mean, we're at WordCamp. I don't want to hear about your weight loss journey and all this. You know, this didn't make any sense to me. So I wrote a blog post about it. And of course, who's the guy? It's Mark. But I didn't.
Yeah.
And I figured I'd write this blog post. This guy's never going to find it. You know, I don't even know if he knew his name. And he found it. And he replied. But, you know, he was talking about graceful.
You know? Oh, he learned. You see, it's all true. Everything that he just
absolutely
told.
So I'm thinking about, well, there's a guy that responded to my craziness. And it was really funny. And of course, we became friends.
Oh,
and, yeah. You know, I mean, we became friends because of his approach. Instead of just blowing me off and just, I'm never going to talk to you again. And I don't want to know you. And no, he took a totally different approach. And now I look back on that talk and I've told him this, that I find that talk to have been very inspirational. And
there you go.
Quite appropriate. Yeah. So, it's really funny. You know?
You go search that out now.
Yeah.
I actually have tried to look for that article, by the way.
Oh, I pulled it down the day after you commented that.
Oh, did you? Did you?
No. I don't know. Yeah. No.
Well, there's an aside to that, which was that Bud contacted me how many years later? I don't know. Oof. Like 5 years ago or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, aren't you the guy who wrote that article?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, I remember.
Right.
So your article did stick in my
I've been carrying around this silver dagger for the
That is so true. That's right.
I was just waiting for the moment, you know.
that's such a good story.
I know.
It is. It involves two of our panelists. That's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that, both of you. Yeah. Reese, anything or not?
No, I'm perfect in every single thing, and I've never done anything I regret. No, absolutely. I've got loads. The problem is, I was trying to think of this when people were saying it. It's like there's situations where it's like for example, I used to write a football blog, and I'd wax lyrical about a footballer being amazing, and they turn out to be a wrong one. You know, about like three months later, and then I'd get flooded with comments going, why are you praising this person? He's a horrible, horrible man. And it's like, yeah, but, and I'm, you know, quickly delete everything. So there are stories. I'm trying to think of.
It's okay. Don't you worry about it. I think one of the things that I've tried to do, which in a way I regret, is I'm quite anodyne. In that I try to avoid controversy as much as is humanly possible.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes that's not great because it means that I avoid things that other people have got real strong opinions about. And so with a show like this, I might say, you know what, let's not cover that because maybe that'll put people's noses out of joint. And there's a part of me which thinks that's good. I don't want to put people's noses out of joint. But the other flip side of that is, well, maybe that person actually ought to have their nose put out. In the same way that you've just described, Mark, you know, you feel with the benefit of hindsight that your nose deserved to be put out of joint by that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really do that. And there's a bit of me which wonders if controversy is a good thing. I know that it gets you followers more readily, but I don't know.
I think the thing is, there's always a situation like happened. For example, right? And again, this is, I always try and punch up like and everything, so rather than necessarily targeting Mark,
I am not going to tell you where my head went there.
I don't know. Yeah.
Speaking of controversy,
but if you like aim for a bigger person, like for me to take a pop of Facebook is fine because it's Facebook. They're gonna be fine and everything, and they probably should have things popped out. But even then, that can kind of bite you in the rear end, because just an example, I commented quite public. I wrote a blog post, and it's probably the most controversial thing I've written for a while, and it got featured in the repository, was when SiteGround pushed their AI plugin to it. What happened afterwards was, on the week, there would be a couple of people, I wrote a blog post about it going, yeah, this is bad, you know, because I've got a couple of clients on it, I have a couple of hosting plans on it, and I noticed it and I was getting questions on it. What happened at WordCamp Krakow was I was, you know, walked in, got myself a cup of coffee, got myself, you know, a pastry, was carrying around, got given like loads of bags, carrying t-shirts and everything, put the coffee down on the table, on the edge of the table, coffee fell over.
Ugh.
And then, you know, small problem, all of a sudden this bloke came over with a massive smile on his face, going, "Hey, oh my goodness, I'm sorry to see that, you know, help, you know, helped me out, helped me clean up." And he's from one of the sponsors. Guess the sponsor. Inside Ground.
Yeah.
And I was just like, "Oh God, if you know," and he started asking me about the thing, and I was going,
I'm not going to show you my name badge. My name's Jonathan. I live in Poland, and
so there's a bit of that, but yeah. So even when you try and like you, Nathan, I try to avoid much in the way of controversy or like an obvious target. But even then, that can kind of just, you just end up in these awkward situations.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, all of that, thank you for everybody's contributions there. All of that came from my sidebar on Imran's video, which, you know, tells you that I watch Bob Mortimer and archaeology programs. By the way, archaeology, just so that you know, is the best thing you can do with your life.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes.
You know, if I wasn't a YouTube thingy and podcaster, I'd be doing that. I actually went out this week in a field, and I'm going to put the screens back. I spent my entire Wednesday pushing around what can only be described as a shopping trolley in a farm field with ground penetrating radar.
Wow!
And it was very exciting. You can see how excited everybody is by my pushing a trolley. But
well, only if you found something. Did you find something?
No, you don't even get to see. You push the trolley all day, the data gets captured in this little box on the top, and you don't ever get to see that until that goes back to a computer with the appropriate software, and it then makes the
There's not like a screen on top of it.
No, there is. It's a teeny tiny screen about the size of a mobile phone, and all that shows you is where you're traveling so that you don't overlap what you did on the previous straight line. But you don't get to see it. But you know, I will get to see it, but it's like playing it forwards. I won't see it for like 4 months or something, and then I captured that bit.
And how deep does this thing go that you can see?
I actually don't know how deep it goes, but I don't know what the limit of it is, but it's deep enough basically to discover, you know, walls and anomalies and, you know, things like metal and what have you. And you have to wear no metal at all. So there can't be a single bit of metal on you. The only thing I got away with, there's a tiny bit of metal on the hinge of my glass.
That was the first thing I saw.
That was allowed, but I had to stand next to the ground-penetrating radar equipment, and they scanned me to see if I registered. And that tiny bit was not sufficient. But if you had, like, fillings and stuff, it's a problem. Luckily, I don't. Anyway, on another interesting segue for you. Right, let's move on. So Patch Stack. This week, have identified what I think is actually a really sensible, you know, they're highlighting something which I think we need to be mindful of. So Protect the Shire is this new initiative whereby in order to stop certain things, WordPress plugins, I guess it's themes as well, things on the WordPress repository are being stymied. They're being like held back for 6 hours. So you submit your plugin, if you've got a plugin update, what have you, and there's a 6-hour waiting period before that goes live to the general public. Now, that on the face of it seems like quite a good idea, because if there's a problem, you know, it can be identified by, let's say, for example, the AI or the people on the team that are looking for that. Mm-hmm. However, a new idea has come from PatchStack, and that is, well, it goes in the other direction. What if we find or somebody knows that there's a vulnerability, and so now there's a 6-hour window in which any hacker can exploit that vulnerability because the patch will not be coming out for at least 6 hours? And so anyway, I don't know how we're going to square that circle. We have a new problem of our own making, but
yeah,
there you go. So anyway, you can go and read that. It's called Protect the Shire, solves one problem but risks making another worse. And they go into the technical details of why that matters. Anything on that, or shall I move?
The only thing I can kind of say, because I think this is related to it, and forgive me if this is incorrect, is One thing I have begun to notice is a couple of times I have been dragged into tickets, or I have opened tickets on the WordPress forum saying there is this patch stack thing out. It's coming off my plugin. You know, my plugin tracker is saying that there's an update when we get around to fixing it. And generally, the discussion is kind of like, you know, polite. Is it then? What happens is when it's pushed out. Okay, so there's an update. Am I right in thinking you can download the update, but you won't be able to automatically update? Is that seem to be the case?
Or? So there is something there, and I can't remember the truth of which bits of that are true and which are not.
Yeah.
Couldn't you just go like to the SVN repository and check all of that? But you'd have to do that all manually.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember. Somebody this week said they'd done that. Was it? Was it you, Reese? Somebody had said basically for every plugin that they've got on their client websites, they're now checking SVN.
It wasn't me.
Wasn't you? It was Tim Nash. I went for a walk with Tim Nash yesterday. Right. And he was saying that he now polls SVN to check for every plugin that he's got used on any of his websites because he wants to get around this problem.
Yeah.
I think that's right, Tim. Sorry, I butchered that.
What was happening was that the plugin was being updated and the guy was saying, we have now updated this plugin. And people were replying to it going, well, we can't see it in the dashboard.
Right, so there's the problem, right?
There is the problem. And it's,
what if you had like a seriously critical vulnerability in your plugin? There's now a six-hour window for anybody who figures that out.
I mean,
or if you get alerted by PatchStack, we found a serious problem in your plugin and we know it's being exploited in the wild, but every one of your users is going to have to wait 6 hours. That's not great.
No, I think what PatchStack has done is raised this problem, and then they're probably going to sit down with WordPress and go, right, okay, how
we need a push mechanism that'll just push these.
Yeah, particular. And I think that's probably going to be what's going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Will we see you on Digging for Britain soon, Nathan? No. Well, I could be in the grave at some point fairly soon. Oh. I mean, have you seen my grey hair? But I don't think I'll be doing the digging. It's an archaeology program where they mainly dig up skeletons of long dead people. And Nathan says, Nomad Skateboard, did you know there's a WP Tavern podcast and the exact same one just called Jukebox that goes out? No, I didn't know that. What do you mean? So is there two feeds or something? If there is, I'll be curious to know what the heck's gone wrong there.
Didn't the WP Tavern podcast wasn't called the WP Jukebox or WP Tavern Jukebox?
Yeah. Was it?
I believe it was when I think it was Jeff Chandler and John James Jacoby used to do a
Wow. Oh well, maybe that explains it, but I'm not responsible for whatever that is. I don't think it's me, unless it is me, in which case I'm blaming Reese. Reese is responsible. One thing I regret doing online, blaming Reese. should not have done that. I feel bad. Sorry, I'll make you a public apology
now. It's fine. There's a lot of things I don't know that I've done, so.
As long as you don't know that you've done them, it's always good. Anyway, protect the Shire. You know, it's a thing. We're dealing with it. No doubt this revelation and intuition from PatchStack will get mentioned. Speaking of which, on the security side of things, WP Manage Ninja got loads of popular plugins. I think their most popular one would be Fluent Forms. And they've got Ninja Tables and Ninja Tables Pro. They had a bit of a problem, bit of a snafu last week in that they had a decommissioned server, which they were no longer using because they moved away from EDD for their licensing to their own thing, which is called FluentCart. And they didn't decommission that server. And because it was not decommissioned, people were able to gain access and upload malicious, legitimate, in air quotes, plugins to some of their users. Apparently they've all been contacted. They figured out what the problem was. taken that server offline, done the necessary bits and pieces. In fact, in the comments, Patricia, who's often in the chat, says that they did an exemplary job, basically, of communicating with their users. But nevertheless, if you've got Fluent Forms or Ninja Tables, just be a bit mindful. Something did go wrong. Hopefully, you've received a patch to update, you know, the dodgy one. But yeah, not good.
No. I love that they were just transparent and totally owned it.
Yeah.
They did not for a second try to blame anyone else. They just said, we did this, we screwed up, we fixed it. You know, and
do you know what? That gives me an idea you can hope for. Yeah,
you
know? I've just come up with the idea of a subscription service, and it's gonna be nathanstoblame.com. And I'm gonna, for $29 a month. Maybe 99. I haven't thought it through quite yet, but I'll take all the blame for whatever went wrong with your WordPress. You can just send all the blame in my direction. So, you know, the server goes down. It was definitely me. Anybody interested?
Do you want to blame Nathan?
BlameNathan.com. I'll do 99.
And then you're going to outsource it to me, by the sounds of it.
There's no way I'm taking the blame for it. It's definitely.
I can already see the AI-generated logo for you, which would be a picture of you under the bus.
I'm going to put an autoresponder, an automatic reply on the email. It'll just go straight to, you know, Reese's email address. I like the idea of that. I'm happy to take the blame. So anyway, I'm joking aside, you know, the team over at WP Manage Ninja apparently did a terrific job. So well done for not sidestepping that issue. So that's good. The nation of Poland has warned of critical flaws that could let attackers see servers in WordPress. I just think this is so interesting. I've never heard of this. The Polish government issued a formal warning about critical security vulnerabilities in the widely used, says the TVP World Press article, WordPress content management system that could be exploited by cybercriminals and lead to a critical incident. There's no story here apart from the fact that a government has issued warnings to its citizens about WordPress's security or lack thereof. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Interestingly.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. If you read the post, it is again, its headline is one thing and the post says
it's to do
with this big one that was 7.0.2.
Right.
That came involved. Not because WordPress is totally insecure. But yeah. Unprecedented this. I don't think I've ever heard of a government going, you should do this, please check it.
Yeah. Wrists have been slapped. People are, you know, rending their clothes, gnashing their teeth. And the Polish government have spoken. So anyway, hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you'll know that you should have done all these things already. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Whatever next? Maybe Wales, Reese, will introduce his own position on WordPress security.
We've had 20 mile an hour speed limits for a while now, and that's gone down like a lead balloon. So, it's going to be a while before any sort of security, anything that makes things more secure.
Nobody can get even to the office.
Maybe some sort of resistance.
Okay, right. Because it's coming around soon and you may still yet be undecided, WordCamp US is happening. It's happening. Oh, my goodness. No way is that number true. The 16th of August and it's the 10th today. Gosh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. It's really soon. That means if you're going, get out. You've got a ticket. but it's very, very soon. It's happening in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a peculiar sort of stretch of days, but anyway, it's happening very soon. If you haven't got your tickets, you can. Mark, are you going? I think I've asked you this before.
If I do, it's going to be, I hop in my car and drive there. I've got some personal stuff that it's unfortunately bad news that I may or may not have to deal with. So it's maybe touch and go right now. If I do, it's going to be, like I said, I'll hop in my car, drive down there. It's like a, I don't know, 14-hour trip or something like that.
And, oh, wow. Like, to me as a European, that's like nobody does that. Well, Remkes does that.
But Remkes and I have had many conversations about this,
and
we're on the same page when it comes to road trips. Yeah. So, yeah.
Bod, are you going?
No, I'm going to sit this one out for a number of reasons. One, I've been traveling too much. Two, it's too hot.
Yeah.
And three, you know, isn't it funny? Wait, Robert Jacoby, this isn't the reason I'm going, but Jacoby is going to be interviewing Matt in a fireside chat. Do you really want to use the word fireside in Phoenix?
Okay. Yeah.
Really? Really? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'll be there from afar.
What's the opposite of fireside, though? I mean,
yeah, we actually have an actual fire. That really, like, why do they call it a fireside when there is no
Because
fire?
It's a camp. It's a word camp. Yeah. So, you think of fire, it's a theme. It goes with the theme.
Yeah.
But I heard there's a rumor that, yeah, but next year's WordCamp US is going to be in Fairbanks, Alaska in February. Why not?
No, I think they should do it in January when it's dark 24 hours a day.
Yeah, even worse. Right. Yeah.
The aggregate temperature of Fairbanks over 2 years, if you took the average temperature of, you know, WordCamp US in Phoenix and WordCamp US in Fairbanks, it's a pleasant 22 degrees.
Yes, right. Oh, God, I can only imagine where it's going to be next year.
It's going to be 45 degrees, and my skin is not prepared for such events. So anyway, I'm going to
hide. 45. I'm sorry. I didn't translate.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Moving on very quickly. Speaking of WordCamps, we're running out of time. WordCamp Switzerland has now put its flag in the sand, given its dates. It's going to be at the Center Loewenberg, which is in Merton, Morat. I don't know if I've pronounced that correctly, but it's on the 5th to the 6th of March. 2027. So they've got a website up and running, switzerland.wordcamp.org/2027. There's nothing else apart from that. You know, if you're there and you want to go, you now know about it. And if you are, we were mentioning accessibility earlier, WordPress Accessibility Day 2026 is happening. And it's October 7th to October 8th. It's online. And they're looking for volunteers. So, again, links in the show notes. But if you go to wpaccessibility.day/2026/volunteer, then you will you'll be able to, you know, put your... the reason I'm struggling is I'm suddenly wondering, are they allowed to use the word WordPress? Because they use the word WordPress all over the place. I'm guessing, knowing Amber and all of the people behind it, that the answer is a definitive yes. Yeah. But it just suddenly caught my attention that the word WordPress Accessibility Day.
I think in this case they'd be allowed to, because they're specifically talking about accessibility for WordPress.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's interesting, so, though, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
There might be a little fine line detail, you know, that.
I mean, given the way it's governed and everything, you'd have no doubt that it would be fair use of it.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, our MWG, Manchester WordPress User Group, has the WordPress in it, and
were you pinged?
Well, I mean, to be honest, for one of our original founder of the meetup is the WordPress co-founder.
Get off my land.
Amber, by the way, has said that
they got
approval. So yeah,
look at that. Like, this is why I love this show. Amber Hines, just there she is.
What do you know?
She knows. We got approval from Mary because we're a 501c3. I'm guessing that for that read charity in the UK parlance. Non-profit and meet all the exception. I had no doubt, Amber, to be honest. It just suddenly caught me as I was looking at it, saying, there's the word WordPress everywhere on this, isn't there? So, yeah, okay, thank you for clarifying that. I had no doubt that that was the case, but there we go. Now it's been clarified. Right, a couple of things very quickly before we go. Anne McCarthy, who, honestly, you know, I don't know, I don't know what's going on.
Doesn't sleep.
What's in the water over there? she's an amazing force of nature, but clearly she not is. Busy enough because now she's joined the PHB Foundation, the foundation board. So she's become a board member of the PHP Foundation. And I have the most respect it's possible to have for Anne McCarthy.
Me too.
And so I'm just nervous that you've less sleep than you were probably already getting. So bravo, anyway. Congratulations. I think that's absolutely amazing. As with everything you do, well done and well deserved is the way of describing that. Right, very quickly. In Poland next year, Gdynia is CMS Conf. So this post has been written by Maciek Palmowski. He has worked in the WordPress space for many, many years. He's one of the organizers of a CMS agnostic conference, which is coming up. I actually don't know the dates. I apologize, Maciek, I was told. But anyway, I will link to this. If you're interested in a CMS agnostic conference happening in person in Gdynia, I think next year, then it'll be in the show notes, but it's called CMS Conf. So no doubt by now you'll be able to Google that and find out the information that you need. If you're a user of Airtable, it's time to pray. It's been acquired by Bending Spoons. Everybody seems to hate Bending Spoons except me, because I use one of the apps that they bought many years ago, like 3 years ago, something like that. They bought this app. And at that point, I don't think anybody had heard of them. And the app's so much better under their stewardship. I think they're a venture capital firm. So, there's that whole thing. But they appear to have been buying everything up that's available to buy. They bought Vimeo. They bought Komoot. What else did they buy? Tolerant.
They bought AOL.
They bought the internet from the 1990s.
Look for your Bending Spoons 3.5-inch floppy in your mail soon.
That's right. It's coming. It's coming. And now they've acquired Airtable. So if you're a user of Airtable and, thinking about that, then think about that. And last but by no means least, Cloudflare. Again, they're not actually doing much these days, are they, Cloudflare? They don't seem to be innovating at all.
Lackers.
No new products any time. No, it's like ridiculous over there. What's in the water? They're drinking what Anne McCarthy's drinking. They've got a new thing called a WebMCP interface, which apparently turns just about anything internet-facing into an MCP. So if you've got a website, static website, anything you like, it's now MCP-able. I don't really understand what any of that means, but I've said it, so it sounds clever. So there we go. That's it. We've run over by 3 minutes. I apologize. Breathe. Relax.
Okay, so now it's time to do one of those.
We've got to do the silly hands in a minute. I'm just seeing if any more comments are coming. I've got Daniel who says most use WP. What I wonder what he means.
Instead of WordPress.
As opposed to WordPress.
Of course. Yeah, you've got to get a special dispensation to use WordPress. We're WP build, so we get around it in that way. Thank you. All right, so we're going to do the hand wave of joy.
Is it?
If that's okay, just there we go. Hand wave of joy. Everybody smile. Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much. Like I said, we won't be back next week or the week after that or the week after that because I'm lazy. And I'm going to WordCamp US and then it's the bank holiday. And in the UK, everybody takes the bank holiday off or they get moaned at by members of their immediate family. I didn't say that. By the way, that never exited my mouth. But so we'll be back in like a month, 4 weeks from now. So, I don't know how you're going to live with yourselves during the month.
It'll be hard.
Oh, it's going to be tough. So thank you. Thank you to Mark Benzekane. Thank you to Rhys Wynn. And thank you to Bud Kraus. Really appreciate it. We will be back in a few weeks' time. And thank you to you if you came and dropped in a comment. I really appreciate it. If you three want to stick around and have a natter, that would be nice. We'll hang around after this. But to the rest of you, the audience, we'll see you soon. Take it easy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.